Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee. It's Tuesday night, and I'd like to just say there is a lot of stuff happening in barbecue, first off. I want to start out by thanking my guest from last week. I had Diane Haggerty on from over in the Tallahassee area talking about her contest coming up. Mama Stump was on visiting, Dan Kinley and Rub Bagby. Appreciate all their times. And I see that my first guest is here, and since I've got a lot to talk about, I'm going to go ahead and get him on because there's been a change in my lineup. And so let's just go right straight to Terry. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here, Lori. How are you?
I'm really good. And so we have Terry McKay with Get Her Smoked with us first thing this show, and huge, huge win this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We needed it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it's not funny. You wait it till I guess probably the best contest to pull out everything in your arsenal or out of your ass. I don't know which it was.
Probably a little bit of both. I tell you, one of the biggest things was we haven't been doing that great here. We've done all right, but we haven't won anything lately. And I was considering taking a cook class, and I just really hadn't decided which one I was going to do. But my friends Corey and Brad Kay were cooking Lakeland, and I wasn't signed up. So I said, hey, y'all, mind if I tag along this weekend? And I cooked with Corey and Brad. And what I learned was I was doing a lot more than what I needed to. So kind of simplified things, changed a few things, and got it all back on track. Cooked Winter Haven. Could have won that contest. I did real well there, won chicken. Been a long time since we've won a category also, but won chicken, and then got that on track, and went to Apopka and won chicken again. And got the other three where they needed to be. So I'm just thrilled about it. It's like you said, it's the one that you want to win is definitely that one. So
yeah. Well, you didn't just win chicken; you took over the high chicken score for the FBA. Did you realize that?
Yeah. It was nearly perfect score in a Popco, just 195. And I've done that once before. Nobody's ever got a perfect chicken score. I've come close twice. So.
Well, yeah, you took it over, and then you moved in your rankings in the team of the year. I know you're not vying for that, but after such a huge win, and you always had been kind of a chicken king. You know, when I thought about your name, I think about chicken because you've always done so well, and you kind of said you got off track. It's funny you said you simplified. I hear a lot of people, competitors say that.
Yeah. I was doing a lot more steps than what was needed. Obviously, less steps worked, so pretty happy about it. You know, easier is always better. You know, so not scared to do, you know, a lot. But boy, if you can make it a little easier, it sure does make it nice. And I surely found that. I have my friends Brad and Corey to really thank most of all, you know, aside from my sponsors, you know, Brad and Corey really got me straightened out, you know. So.
Wow. And if you want to mention your sponsors before we go into our next little topic, go ahead and give them a shout out.
Stump Smokers, of course, everybody knows that. Most everybody knows that. Stump Smokers, Florida Fresh Meats, and we've got Baxter's Original. Baxter's Original always takes good care of us, and the Seminole Tribe of Res Rodeo. So we want to thank them, of course. They're the ones that keep us going, you know.
Well, and definitely, like I said, you've had such a huge weekend, but you were very solid in walking away with your $10,000+ this weekend, and it wasn't so easy for the next man on the totem pole, was it?
No, there was a lot of there was quite a snafu, if you want to call it that. I don't know exactly what happened, but you know, there was three of us that were kind of in the running for it. You know, Kenny with two first place and a perfect score.
Yep.
And you had Bull Rush with a perfect score and had three strong walks. And I really didn't think that I wasn't doing the math, but I really didn't think – I was thinking we were probably third or possibly reserve, which I would have been thrilled with either. But, you know, it's it was a tough one, no doubt. It was nerve-wracking, and glad it ended up like it did, you know.
Well, and I'm guessing even as that was going on, you probably were a little bit concerned that maybe you were caught up in that shuffling, weren't you?
Yeah, well, what I did was after they said that something had been – that Kenny's score was screwed up. I did the math, and Kenny, with the scores that they had three – in the overall, they had three of the categories.
Right.
And they left out chicken. But if he – I said, well, if he's got a perfect 200, a perfect score in chicken, he still wouldn't have beat me. So.
Right, right. And I'm glad that that's the first thing you did. And just so that we can bring everybody up to speed, normally FBA doesn't have problems with the scoring, but it happened. And what happened was, and it wasn't just Uncle Kenny's, because our buddy Ben Purvis with Cedar Creek, as well as two other teams, and they all ended up being in chicken. But the thing was, there were other DQs this weekend, so I think that's why it really didn't get caught, even though the chicken score was in the overall package and it was handed out to us. It's not like they were hiding anything. It was
right.
It was a computer glitch, and actually I called
in the overall.
Yeah, so on the overall they just kicked it out and put a zero, but because of the other DQs this weekend, I think that's why they didn't catch it, to be honest with you. So this computer one other time did that to one team, and they caught it. So they have sent that computer back for an overhauling. But here's what I think is amazing. A lot of people that don't compete don't realize that the sponsors and the organizers give the money. The FBA does not give the money for the money. And yours was a $10,000 check, and reserve was a $5,000 check. Because they were not going to disrupt the third, fourth, fifth, all the way down to 10th place with money, they were actually had written another $5,000 check to be handed to Kenny, and they were not going to go after Bull Rush. But, you know, Brian and his family, being the class act that they are, they're like, we didn't earn it. And, I mean, that's what Pop said to me. You know, he said Brian came in the trailer and said, we didn't win this. And
yeah, they are. They're classy folks. I mean, they really
yep.
are. You know, that's just goes to show what the FBA is built of. You know, just people that are, you know, they didn't have to.
Nope.
By the book, they did not have to cough that money up. But you know, the type of people they are. They're great people.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think it says a lot for the FBA, because basically what they're saying is two things. They're willing to eat the $5,000 to stand behind the reps and the program that actually made a mistake, and it was a mistake. It's not like, you know, everybody can get bent out of shape over it, you know, because it was such high anxiety right afterwards. I mean, well, you know, everybody's waiting for you to buy fillets, but, you know, other than that, there was just a lot of anxiety. It was definitely a high anxiety time, but fortunately you were not affected by it.
Fortunately, yes.
Now,
what
kind of a trophy did you get? That is a monster trophy.
Oh, yeah, it's a custom-built trophy. It's it's got a wooden base on it, and then the top part is like a laser cut or a water jet cut piece of aluminum, brushed aluminum, with the logo and the Popco Florida Outdoor event logo on it. And it's an awesome trophy. It's waist high. I mean, it's huge. It's definitely one I'll keep forever.
They said it weighed like 25 pounds or something?
I would say at least 25 pounds, maybe more. I mean, it's a beauty. There's no doubt I've won some nice trophies, some nice custom-made trophies, and this one here is definitely one I really, really will keep for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you definitely deserved it, and I know you were it's kind of ironic you weren't cooking with somebody else this weekend, but your buddies and my friends, too, get you some. We're cooking next to you. And Ben Purvis had one of those kicked-out scores, and it made a difference in his rankings. It didn't make a difference for I think he did get a check, didn't he?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if Ben made it on stage. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think when I talked to him afterwards, he had said something about it really boosting his score all the way around.
Yeah, well, he was in the down. You know, without a chicken score, you're probably in the last in the bottom
25 or so.
Oh, less than that. Without a chicken score, you're in the bottom five. There was five of them or six of them that were down there because they all were missing a score.
Right.
So once you get your score back, then you go up to in the 20s or the 30s. I think Ben ended up in the 30s. But, you know, you go from 78th to 30, you know, that's a pretty good boost. So.
Yeah, and I think Uncle Kenny was at 73rd and that. And it was 185. I mean, he was under you by enough that you would not have, like you said, even if you put a perfect score in there, you didn't have to worry about yours. So where do you go next for a contest, Terry?
We'll be in Haines City this week, or I'll be in Haines City this week, and then I think we're off for a week or so, and then we've got Claremont coming up, and then there's Fort Pierce. Fort Pierce will be next, and then Claremont, and then we kind of slow down a little bit, you know. We don't cook every week in the summer. The FBA just don't have the events every week, and we do slow down. And it'll be. I'm actually ready to go full force right now. You know what I mean? But coming off a win like that, you're ready to cook every week again. Where I'd gotten to where I was like, man, I'm ready for a break. But 10 grand changes all that, you know.
So. Yeah, it's amazing what one of those big checks on the stage does for you. Now, what were your other places? Because you really had a great – I'll tell you the other thing I just want to say. When they called you because, you know, everybody was like, is it going to be Bull Rush? You know, is it going to be Terry? There was a thought it could be Kenny because of the 200 score. But when they said your name, I mean, a bunch of us just, we like shot out of our seats. We were so excited for you. And I guess just knowing you were going to be carrying the big check away too, but you were jumping up and down too.
Yeah, I was, you know, they at first Kenny had not made it in the top 10 with two,
right.
with two first place. And, in my mind, that kind of outweighed what I had going on. So when they get to second and they call Bull Rush, me and Kenny are still sitting. And I'm like, man, I could have very well had – I didn't get called in pork. I got called in the other three.
Oh.
I could have very well had a score so badly that I didn't even make it in the top 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a nail-biter right to the end.
Yeah.
You know, it was awesome. I mean, you got to – it's cool to be able to do that. You know, the teams, the caliper teams that were there and the amount of teams, and to come out on top of that mess, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. But again, you know, I did want to just go back and say that I do think the FBA handled that amazingly. And they were still working on it at 9 o'clock at night to make sure that everything was taken care of. There's also been a request for a full audit of the contest. And Yeah. I made a couple calls before we talked about this tonight. I didn't want to say anything disparaging because two things. I have full confidence in our reps and our association. So I didn't want to say something that I had half-cocked, you know, or didn't know, or somebody told me.
Misleading,
sure. Yeah, so I called, and there has been a request from someone to do a full audit on this contest. So the scorecards are being actually sent to Tony, and this weekend there will be a complete audit of every scorecard and everything in there. But the but like I said, the computer has been sent out to be reworked. If it, and, you know, somebody goes, well, that can't happen. Well, you know, I do QuickBooks for my business, and I actually had that where QuickBooks would, it's kind of a thing that ticks you off because I have 50-some owners of homes that we manage, and it would kick out the totals. And it would make it for the wrong year. And it's like my honey kept saying, you must be inputting it wrong. I'm like, I'm telling you, the computer has a mind of itself. It kept doing it. So, it, you know, it could be a glitch in just that computer to cause the problem. So,
yeah.
It, the best
well, I mean, you if you figure you have 81 pro teams or 82 pro teams, then you have all the backyard teams. You have over 100 teams that have to be calculated.
Yeah.
In order just to get that out and be able to present the awards at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine how hard they had to work to get that, pull that off. I mean, you know, that's a crazy amount of calculating. Everything is inputted by hand. To pull that off is just amazed me, and you got to applaud the FBA. I mean, this here, nobody can hold us against FBA. This is not an FBA problem. This was a computer problem. And the FBA immediately stepped up to do whatever they had to do to make it go away. So I don't have no issues about anything.
Well, and I really hope that other people see that because, you know, I took out, we're going to talk later in the show regarding Rub Bagby's comments about the judges' numbers. And so I pulled a couple of old sheets and, you know, I'm sure you realize when they hand us, and for anybody listening that's not a Florida Barbecue Association person, they actually hand us a packet that has everybody's score on it for every meat category and every overall. And the first time they gave that to me, I was like astounded that they produced it. And then, so I picked out another one to be able to talk to one of the judges today about that, and I pulled Kissimmee. And you were at Kissimmee. Well, you know, we have like, I don't know, there's maybe 10 pages. The one from this weekend is probably 40, I don't know, 40 pages.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a book. It's a little novel. And I can see what Rub's saying. You used to be able to, in the old scoring system, you could actually track a table and see how each table scored. All four categories. Well, you can't do that anymore. Now it's not a judge that gets a number. It's a scorecard that gets a number.
Right.
And apparently what they do is they shuffle these cards around. So these scorecard numbers don't end up on the same table or the numbers changed or whatever. But it was kind of nice to be able to kind of, and I don't know why it was changed. Well, I have a feeling why it was changed because you could actually every judge had a number, and you could see what Judge 32 was scoring all day long in all four categories.
Yeah.
And you could actually pinpoint how a judge was scoring all the way across the board. And it was I'm sure it was causing some pissing and moaning. And that's the risky take. I mean, that's part of doing business. I mean, sometimes you hit a good table. Sometimes you hit a bad table. Your best case scenario is to have the amount of teams where everybody hits the same table once, so it's
absolutely
even across the board. You know, a contest like this, there could have been six good tables and two bad tables, and You know, but it's the chance you take. It's the luck of the draw. I mean, I've hit bad tables. I've been a victim of bad tables. I've got scores that I didn't deserve before, good and bad.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, it's all part of it. And, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. And this week we took the good. So
you got the real good,
I'm just,
there.
I'm just glad that some of it didn't go back to IVP or Imperial Polk County. That's all
I
heard.
Oh, yeah, and you know I do a hand gesture whenever they say that. So that's
yeah.
for my Spino boys. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally thrilled for you. Who did win last year?
Myron, Jacksonville South.
Oh, that's right. See, I judged last year, and I actually was on the table that had that perfect pork last year, and I said
yeah,
to Michael the other
day. Yeah, perfect score pork.
Yeah, it was one of the prettiest boxes I've ever seen. And, you know, the funny thing is I have come in and out of your trailer when you're putting boxes together, but I've never really knowingly have seen one of your boxes. I don't know if I've ever judged one, and when we're cooking with, you know, next to each other or something, I've never seen one of your boxes. I tasted
yeah,
it one time.
That's one thing I really need to work on is my presentation. My presentation, I think, is what's a little stale, and I need to really spend a little more time on the pork turning and the chicken. I've got down the ribs. What can you do with freaking ribs? But the pork, and I think a lot of times, you know, the pork is one, but the way it's presented, and
yeah.
I need to work on that and maybe, you know, try to get some insight on some pork turning boxes and some, you know, brisket. What can you do with that? You know, there's only so much you can do with that. But I think a lot of times pork might be one by the way it's presented. So
I agree.
That's what I'm going to be working on is getting a better turning. So presentation
being deadly
turning.
On pork. Yeah, well, again, you know, I appreciate that you came on tonight. I knew that you were being sought after by everybody probably this week since that was such a big win. You know, that's as much as huge championships take. So
yeah.
I did want to ask you, are you going to compete in the Sam's Club?
No, I'm not signed up for Sam's Club. I don't do well there. I don't ever do well. Of course, my new Lang barbecue smoker program might work out good there, but I never signed up. I was really planning on throttling my back before I mean, we weren't doing that well. We were in the middle of the pack or, you know, just right outside the top 10 and really cooking with Brad and Corey really lit a new fire, you know?
Yeah,
so
well,
that's
exciting. Listen, I think we actually might have a comment for you because somebody just put a number in. So if you'll hang with me for just a minute and not leave, let's see if they were looking to talk to you a second. The 503 number, did you have a question or a comment for Terry?
This is Corey Sherman.
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
My hero.
Congrats.
Thank you, Corey. I can't thank you guys enough. I really, you really helped a lot.
Oh,
so.
Well, it was great to see you win. I mean, just watching, like Lori was talking about, when you were called for GC, everyone just jumped out of chairs.
Oh, yeah, we're all jumping
awesome.
Around.
Yeah, that was so much fun to see you get up there and get that. That was awesome. I'm really happy for you. That was awesome.
Well, I have to thank you guys for, I was about to fall in that Easter was or crack, you know what I mean? And I think you guys
sure,
saved
yes.
me.
Oh, I don't know about that term, Jay. I think, you know, like you said, you have it in you, and I know sometimes you get a string of, you know, hitting bad tables or whatever, so, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, everyone just cooks the best that they can and hopes that they hit a good table, and, you're a good cook, so I'm glad you got that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Yay.
It.
Well, you're a great cook, Terry, and we're glad you could be with us tonight. I know you're off to do other speaking engagements, but let's just also say if you want a wrap, banner, trophy, or something, a logo's done, you're the man. So tell us a little bit about that before you go so we can plug your business.
10-4 Custom Graphics and Signs. You can email us at cg_signs@comcast.net. Or you can hit me up on Facebook or Custom Graphics actually has a Facebook page. Go and kind of see some of the things we do. We kind of specialize in barbecue related type stuff. We've done some nice stuff, and just check us out.
Yep. Terry, thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations again on this huge win, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much, Lori, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's Terry McKay with Get Her Smoked, and as you heard, we are already going to our next guest, Corey Sherman. So let me do this, Corey. I want to make sure that I do have a few things, even though I'm getting off track here, and I want to make sure that I haven't skipped something that I want to cover with you.
Okay.
We congratulated Terry McKay on his big win, and we also want to congratulate Uncle Kenny's Barbecue for the RGC, and come back and say once again, congratulations to Bull Rush and Uncle Kenny for the perfect score in pork. They tied with a 200 each, and Bull Rush Barbecue, you guys are the best. Good things happen to people who always do the right thing. So, Corey, you want to weigh in on all of the stuff that happened on that this weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Well, besides just, the drama, and I would never wish that on anyone.
No.
That, to me, the emotional roller coaster that they had to have gone through, both teams, that's tough. That's tough. But I'm happy that everything worked out in the end, and definitely congratulations to Uncle Kenny's for getting RGC, but Bull Rush, man, that's good karma coming their way, and they definitely took the high road, and they were very professional and about it. And it's just scoring glitches happen, and hopefully everything works out the way that it should in the end, and it sounds like it did this time. And like I said, I would never wish that on anyone. That's a lot for somebody to go through, both teams.
It's not like it was a $100 check. It was a $5,000 check.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he did end up, they placed him in a tie for third, and they're having banners and trophies made for him, and he left with a check anyway. But it's still, I saw them on Sunday. They stayed to hang out because they didn't compete in the chili cook-off, but they stayed for the concert, and they were there and in really great spirits and, Like you said, we just didn't do it. I know he's actually visiting on some of the shows this week because I think everybody just can't help but feel absolutely great about that. But let's talk about you. went to fifth place in Team of the Year, and you guys are leading with the high score in brisket. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I was aware of that. Since I am the brisket cook right now, and I say right now because I'm always being asked to not cook it.
really?
Brad would really like to cook brisket, and that's something that we go back and forth on. And, I'm like, you're such a great pork cook, so I would love for you to keep cooking that. But who knows? Maybe we'll switch it up one day. I'm aware that we've got the high score. I would like to get a perfect score in brisket. That would be awesome. But for now, I'm happy with what I have, for sure.
Yeah. All Racked Up, they had a perfect score last year in brisket.
Really?
Yeah, they cook a real good, they cook a fine brisket. Now, they don't get out as much. They actually have a boxer named Brisket.
Kind of like the little trophy that we lug around, huh?
Yeah.
The little brisket trophy, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys, for anyone listening that wonders what we're talking about, was that and I know you weren't a team then, but wasn't that a Live Oak trophy?
I believe so. That was, it's Brad,
right,
before I met him, but yes, I believe it's a Live Oak trophy, Smoke on the Suwannee, so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a an amazing little cow, golden cow, Buddha, we'll call him. And he's been
all over the country, yes.
Yeah, and he's been through airport securities and been frisked, but he was recently kidnapped.
Yes, he was cow-napped, yes.
Cow-napped?
We were,
take us, through your trauma.
Yeah, it was a little bit of trauma. We were so sad, not this last weekend, the weekend before, we were packing up from Smoke on the Water, and I guess that Brad assumed that I had grabbed the trophy. I assumed that he had grabbed it, and it wasn't until we got just about, you know, home, and we realized, you know, one of us had packed them up, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Did somebody walk off with them? Are you kidding me? You know, who would take this trophy? And it was a little bit of drama. We were really sad for a while there. So, and then come to find out he was being held for ransom.
He was being held for ransom.
Somebody wanted a pork recipe, and we were not going to give it up.
Oh, is that what it ended up being said?
Yes, it was. It was, I believe,
Blitzkrieg.
The ransom. Yeah, the Blitzkrieg. They had posted or given Audrey a ransom note, Audrey Evans, and she posted it on Facebook saying that, you know, give up the pork recipe and your pal will be returned unharmed. Otherwise, we're going to send them back in pieces.
Oh, in pieces?
In pieces. I know.
I didn't know. I didn't realize
like
that part. Well,
yeah, in pieces. Well,
yeah, that,
at least I thought I saw pieces, yeah.
That's going a little overboard. So as we visited with you on BSPN this weekend, we're real happy to have you guys on. As a matter of fact, you're our first guest. Are you guys looking to apply for any of the Barbecue Pit Masters or anything as a team?
Yeah, and actually we did turn in a application for this last season and did not get on, I guess we could say that. You know, we didn't get on the show. But we'll definitely be applying for the next one as well. I would love to get back on there, and I definitely would love to get on there with Brad, and you know, so the two of us could do this together on the show, see how far we could take it. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys would do great. I am glad to hear you say that you would like to do it again because they really put people through another emotional roller coaster.
Yes. It's very taxing just because it's something that, you know, you cook week in, week out. You're used to cooking, but the whole other side of it where you have to talk constantly and answer questions constantly, you know, it kind of takes you off your game a little bit, and
yeah,
you kind of have to prepare for that. I know after we had filmed the first episode, that's something that we definitely discussed, Lene and I had discussed, you know, how are we going to approach this in the next one? Because it was something that we had been told was going to happen, but you really can't quite prepare for it unless you go through it one time. So, yeah, it's a different game for sure.
Yeah.
Different game than what we're used to.
Well, and now are you back in the Carolinas, or did you stick around?
We stuck around. I'm hanging outside on the patio in Florida, in Grand Island, Florida, right now. So enjoying this weather that came through here and hearing about the freezing temperatures back in South Carolina.
Well,
not too
and,
upset.
Yeah, well, and the other thing was, now, do you think that the temperature, because I know you didn't finish everywhere you wanted to finish, a lot of us,
mm-hmm.
a lot of us didn't, but do you think the temperature affected you this weekend?
You know, it might have a little bit. I know that, you know, with us not cooking in an enclosed trailer, I think when it comes time to box foods and that sort of thing, or boxes of meat, I think that, you know, the wind and everything and the cold weather, it's a lot harder to keep stuff warm. But that's something that, you know, we're kind of used to. But, I'm not going to say it helped at all, for sure. But, you know, it's just something we deal with. I'm looking forward to cooking in some warm weather, though. That rain felt a little too much like Oregon. I was not missing it a bit. So,
oh, I was thinking you felt right at home.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's what was bad is I did feel at home, and I'm like, oh, good grief. This is, you know, having my rain jacket on and just getting soaked. I'm like, okay. I've done this before. Not a big deal.
Well, when it started raining pretty hard, I don't remember what turning it was. I had that little stick burner. You know, I've got the new one, and I was running in and out. But, here I'm running trays of food in and out of the rain, and it was like,
mm-hmm.
it's a little aggravating. And then, like you said, I'm not totally enclosed either. And you really got to work around that temperature thing.
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing is, at least my my grill, you know, it recovers really quickly. So the heat on, putting on the Lang, on the, at least on the 84, it does really well, even with the rain. It's just more once you get it out of that and get into the trailer to box the stuff, that's when you have to, you know, be concerned about that weather. But the cook was, yeah, it was okay. You know, it was fine recovering and that sort of thing.
Now, let me just grab my little thing, because did you guys place in the top 10?
No, we 20th. It was it was a rough weekend for us.
Well, I mean, when you look at the big picture, there were an awful lot of teams that didn't even place that normally are our front runners. So I think anything besides DAL, and I should really watch myself with that, but, you know, anything but that, is, is saying something in that group.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy with where we placed. You know, obviously, I could always hope for us to be a little bit higher up, but yeah, I did look at the score sheet. I did look at a lot of the teams that, you know, we're used to seeing in the top 10 weren't up there, and it just, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Everyone has weekends like that.
I got to tell you, I specifically asked a group of judges, and, you know, being a judge, I guess I'm not as hesitant to ask them questions, but I asked if there was a point being made, and they kind of looked at me, and I said, you know, I've heard tell that some people are getting sick of sweet ribs, and I wondered if everybody with sweet ribs got nailed, and they're like, oh, my God, no.
Well,
they probably
and, you know,
were like,
I would hope not, but... You never know, you know, what they'll say to you and what they'll actually do when they're scoring could be two totally different things. I hope that's not the case because that's going to really shake a lot of things up if all of a sudden there's a shift in the judging based off of, you know, whether people want sweet ribs or not, you know.
Well, you know, they had 140 judges. So... We're pulling from such a – now that's such a broad range. And, I mean, you haven't cooked down here enough, but, like, you know, Jim says, always jokes about the fact that his flavor profiles don't work very well in the north part of Florida as well as in the south. So, you know, when you have 140, you've got them from all over. So that could very well be part of what took place this weekend.
That could be. You're right. That very well could be. You got to wonder when you have to rope in that many judges, exactly where are they coming from? You know, when you're used to a specific flavor profile and you've got that nailed down, and then you start roping in judges from different areas, you know, you got to take that into consideration when you look at your scores and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's the nature of the game, and you do the best you can, and unfortunately, it doesn't always work out. But, you know, something to be said for just sticking with your program and just keep doing what you do week in, week out, and you'll have good weekends and you'll have bad weekends, and you just kind of have to, you know, take it as it is. But, I'm hoping that was the reasoning behind some of the scores on our stuff this weekend, is that it's just different areas and different judges, but who knows.
Now, are you guys cooking Haines City this week?
Yes, we are. Yes,
you
we are. And I'm hoping, you know, once again, do the same thing that we do week in, week out, and hopefully it does better this weekend. But yeah, we're going to be cooking this weekend.
Now, are you guys getting into the Sam's Club?
We are. We're cooking in, I believe it's Marietta, Georgia. We were actually wanting to do the Tampa competition. For this one, we were signed up for Marietta, which that is fine, too.
Okay, so is that related to staying in your area so that you can be down at the, that's a Fort Pierce contest that weekend. Is that so you can stay there?
Exactly.
Yeah. So are you, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you making a run?
Making a run.
Are you making a run for Team of the Year?
Oh, I hope so. I would love that. Yes, we're cooking for Pierce, and you know, I want to say yes. Obviously, we need to score a little better in our competitions to be able to stay in the running. But I definitely would love that. That's one of my goals. Or I should say one of our goals is to hit Team of the Year. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, and I actually said we did a wrap up the other night after all this was going on, and we were, you know, speculating so much. But we did come back to you guys, and I said that I felt like if it were up to you, you would probably push Brad to do more contests so that you could make a run for it.
Oh yeah, I mean we're hoping to cook, I believe, well, 45 competitions this year, but obviously some that's KCBS also. But yeah, there's a lot of FBA comps on our schedule, so we're hoping to do well. Granted, I don't know how that's going to pan out. I mean, gosh, I was watching the Team of the Year play out last year, and I'm wondering, there's still quite a bit of a point spread between where we're at and where Jim's at. So I believe he's still in first, isn't he?
Yes,
he is. Quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll have to, really cook well. Well, I should say score well at our next few comps in order to catch up to that even. I mean, he's really on a roll right now, so.
Yeah, he's secure right now, but he's real secure in that. But it could change, and like you say, if you're there cooking every weekend, then that's going to make a huge difference. Now, last year you guys did the Battle at Barbecue Junction. Where did you guys compete at that?
Where did we compete? I think Brad had cooked the first qualifier. I want to say it was before I was cooking with him, and then we cooked the semifinals. Oh my goodness, in Perry,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then finals in Edgewater.
Okay, so he cooked. That's right. He cooked the first one before you were down here.
Yes.
And he cooked at the very first competition, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay, I forgot about that. I was not at that contest, so I forgot that. And there's two Fort Pierce contests that it's a little odd that they do it that way, but there is two Fort Pierce contests. Okay, so I had a couple other notes here I wanted to make sure to ask you about this. So do you want to weigh in on what you think in regards to the judges' numbering and so forth?
Yeah, as far as the numbering, when you're looking at your score sheet and the judges' card number,
yes.
that sort of thing?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I was looking over the scores again this morning from this last weekend, and, I almost wish I didn't see judges' numbers on there because I start overanalyzing stuff, and I look at, well, this judge scored these same teams low, across the board in this category. When you're looking at, okay, well, we have the same table as this one, this one, this one, this one, we won the table on this, or we came in second or third on the table on this one, and we're up against these teams. And, you start to analyze things, or at least I do. I analyze, okay, we were on this table with these teams, and this is how we ranked compared to them. Granted, judges aren't supposed to judge, one box against the other one when they're tasting stuff. But in my mind, I still think that way. I still think, it's hard to not take that into consideration to some extent when you're judging. But I don't know. What do I know? I'm totally guessing here. I can't look into
what do I know?
But what do I know? What do I just cook? I just cook and turn it in.
Well,
but,
the one
I,
thing
I
that
I wish it wasn't there.
Well, the one thing I found out today that this change took place actually right after Lake City.
Really?
So it's not new. It's been almost 6 months.
Yeah, and you know, I know it's been there. I mean, I've been looking at it, but I've been looking at it. That's the problem. I've been every contest. And that what's funny is even when we do well, you know, and I get a first or a second or something, I'm still looking at my scores and, okay, what can I do to make that better? And that's, and okay, why are they judging, you know, marking me down on taste on this or, anyway. A scorecard, I almost wish I'd never look at them, honestly, sometimes. It might be better. I just say, oh, I got second. Yay, okay, walk away and call it.
Walk away. Well, I don't think everybody feels that way, so you weren't maybe the person
sure.
to ask. No,
I overanalyze stuff.
Well, and I think that's part of what's caused a little controversy over it. I don't think it was an intention to hide things like I've seen the comments on it. It did stir quite a bit of conversation on the members-only forum, but I also hated to see somebody had posted something up there that they were getting ready to take a judging class, and they had decided not to because of the controversy regarding this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't like to hear that because we need, number one, we need judges, and we need a big pool of them, which we found this weekend. I thought it was interesting, and I actually said this to one of the people I talked to today in regards to all of this, was we've created our own animal by having larger contests.
Yeah.
We have a tougher time getting a good round of judges that are consistent and qualified, and, you know, we kind of do that to ourselves.
Yeah. I agree. I think that, you know, especially when you're really looking for judges for bigger contests, you're going to get some that either aren't as experienced or what have you. And, yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we love having these big contests, but then if you can't or you have a difficult time finding the people to work the contests, that's kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what was interesting this weekend, with the judges' tent being open for everyone to see the judges, after brisket turn-in, Brad and I, we had both turned in brisket this time, and we stood there in the rain with an umbrella and watched a little bit. Because I was like, I'm curious. I've never been able to actually watch them. And what was amazing to me was, and I understand the reasoning behind this. Let me just preface that, but preface what I'm about to say. But it took about 12 minutes for the boxes to actually get out to the tables, just to get to the tables. And that's not, you know, them actually tasting anything. And I understand on brisket, you know, the reasoning that we were told why it takes so long is obviously they're trying to shuffle the boxes around, make sure the boxes are landing on the same table and yada, yada, yada. You know, I get that. But it's something that I had never even taken into consideration before, you know, when you're turning in brisket or even pork for that matter on these larger contests. You know, be prepared for it to sit that much longer before they get to it. You know, and that's something I'm going to definitely take into consideration next time I cook at a big contest. Is, you know, that alone. You know, okay, it's going to take that much longer. Let's make sure this is really hot going in. You know, or whatever.
And so, I'll tell you what, they're not to. You know, as a judge, I'm not supposed to mark down for that. But when I'm competing, I can only help but think there's nothing worse than putting cold pork in your mouth. I can put other meats cold in my mouth, but I can't stand cold pork. And I've actually been so impressed with a lot of the people turning in. You know, you'll open a box sometimes, and it's been like the last box coming in, and there's still steam coming off of it.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny is I was just saying to Brad the other day, I'm like, shoot, if it's taking, you know, on brisket, if it's taking, you know, 12 minutes on these big contests for it to even get out to the tables, I'm not going to be in any rush to turn it in next time. I'm going to let it go down to the wire on my turn in. I'm like, give myself a couple more minutes, you know, which is not such a good thing. But we'll see. I'm not gonna try to get the first box in by any means next time.
Well, and I know people that have waited, and I've seen them wait till the very last minute, hoping not to be on somebody else's table, and
mm-hmm.
you know, because they are shuffling and doing that random numbering, they don't have any control over that. It could still end up,
yeah,
it still could end up anywhere. So I don't know that
mm-hmm.
there's a benefit to that reasoning, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah, no, definitely. I am aware that that's been shuffled around and stuff, but I'm thinking to myself now, I'm like, I want to try to get that thing in as hot as I possibly can.
Yep.
Granted, you know, well, in my mind, brisket cools off. That's one of the faster meats that cool
yep.
off. You know, chicken, you can get in really hot. Pork, you can even get in really hot, you know, depending on how you're boxing it. But brisket, for whatever reason, cools off pretty quickly. So I'm like, well, I'll wait.
Cool off.
No, watch me get DQ'd.
and you know, that's a horrible chance to take, too, because there were quite a few, you know, there were some legitimate DQs this weekend, which we all hate to see happen to somebody.
Yeah, definitely. I would never, oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't ever want somebody to get DQ'd because of, well, for any reason at all. You know, that's awful. I've been DQ'd before. The first year I was kicking, I was DQ'd for a little tiny sliver of foil on one of my ribs, and yeah, I know that feeling. I would never wish this on anyone. So,
for foil, you got it?
Foil. I had a little tiny, tiny sliver of foil on the back of one of my ribs, and I was
stuck.
That, so. Yeah, it stuck to the sauce. So, whatever. I won't do that again. That's for sure.
Well, that's the good thing about it happening early on, because you would never do that again. And I had some guys next to me at the chili cook-off the next day, and they were new backyard guys, and they took second in ribs. So, you know, they were all excited,
mm-hmm.
had their trophy and everything. And, you know, we were chatting a little bit, and I said, what do you guys use for your sauce? And they said, oh, a Purdy brush. And I go, throw them away, man. He's like, what? What do you mean? And I go, didn't anybody tell you about the bristles? And I said, please, please, throw them away. And they're probably thinking, you freak.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I almost wish that there was, like, some sort of a sheet or something you could give to backyard cooks or, you know, somebody who's thinking the first time, don't use this, you know, don't. Or, you know, really look for this, you know, just for the silly little DQ things that can happen, you know.
Oh,
Oh, gosh, I had a friend of mine was DQ'd for having a hair in his box, and he's bald. He was like, "Will me this? How does that happen? I have no hair." It's like, oh, my gosh, man, you know, I felt for that guy, too. But the strangest things, you know. Yeah, tell me about those, But anyway, the stories.
That would be awful. I think you would almost want to argue that. I know that wasn't an FBA. So yeah, that would be horrible.
I know. I told him. You know, I would be like the. Like an attorney, I would be arguing with that one down to the wire. Like, are you kidding me? That couldn't have possibly been a judge's hair in the land. And or something. I don't know. I mean, that was a debacle.
That's not good. Okay, so you don't care one way or the other about the judge's numbers because you don't really want to start comparing them.
Oh, you know, I. Yeah, you know, I really don't want to take a stance on I want this or I don't want it to be on there because I have pros and cons both ways, you know, on it. I think that it's kind of interesting information to be able to compare, and sometimes it makes you feel a little bit better when you can see you know, the card number or whatever the judge's number is. And you can look across the score sheet to see, well, everyone kind of got dinged by that same guy.
Right.
So, you know, and in that respect, it's like, okay, it makes you feel a little bit better, I guess. You know, it's not just me. You know, maybe it wasn't just, you know, maybe my stuff wasn't so awful, you know, just that he was dinging or she was dinging everyone.
Right.
So I guess that's a good way to look at it, I guess. But yeah, I tend to, like I said, analyze things a bit too much sometimes and drive myself crazy over it. But whatever.
Any thought that you and Brad might consider or want to take the judging class?
You know, I guess I would, but I know I've said this before to people. I don't know if I could ever judge a contest. Just because I would go nuts sitting there thinking I should be cooking. I don't know what it is. I honestly would love to judge if it was something where there's no way I could have cooked in that contest. Absolutely no way I could have cooked in that contest. Yeah, I'd judge it. But I think the whole time, if it was just cooking right now, you know, what am I doing? Guys, here, you know, I don't know. I really give props to the teams that go out and judge, honestly, because I don't know how they could do it. Being a cook and sitting there judging, like when you judge, I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. And I appreciate teams that judge as well, because they know the effort that goes into it.
Absolutely.
To build those boxes. You know, so that's a great thing to have cooks actually judging. I really appreciate that. I don't think I could do it.
What happens, like the ones I tend to sign up for, like if I've got a catering event during the week and
mm-hmm.
I know that I'm just going to be jammed for time, then I try to do that so at least I can go. But then I just feel like I'm so left out.
Exactly. That's the feeling. Yeah. No, but like I said, anyone who can cook and then turn around and judge, they know everything that's going into it. Because I know sometimes that part that goes through my mind is that, you know, some of the judges, like, do they really realize all the effort that's going into this box?
Right.
I hope they do, you know, and I know anyone who's a cook that's judging knows what's going into that box. I hope that all the judges look at it that way. I'm assuming that they do. You know, I'm assuming that they know all the work that goes into it. But I know that the cooks know that. So.
Right. I saw somebody put a post, and I don't remember whose it was, which was kind of an interesting idea, that they felt like the judges, instead of doing a master judging, you know, after you're 25 or when you're getting up to 25 and you have to cook with a team to actually qualify for your master's judge, that if you're going to continue to judge, that before your fifth year you should cook. Or no, before your fifth contest you should cook with a judge. Or cook with a team, so that way you could really understand it.
I think that would be a great idea. I was thinking about that as well. I mean, I know that master judges have to go through that to get that certification, but I think it would be a great idea to have some judges earlier on in their tenure do that. I think that would make a world of difference for them to see exactly what it takes to build that box. It's only a box of meat. It's not a whole lot, but all the work that goes into that is
absolutely
amazing. Yeah, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, literally.
You actually tickled me the other day when you were talking about not realizing, how much meat we put in boxes here.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I'm still astonished every time we're turning in, especially Brad's pork box. Every time that box goes up to the table, I'm like, that is just amazing to me, how much meat's going in that box.
Call it the 5-pound box.
Oh, yeah, exactly. 5 pounds easy. That's a meal for quite a few people. Brad just told me to stop giving away all the secrets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's when we took the class, or when I took the judge's class, you know, they make mention of it. And then when they talk to the teams, they're like, put as much in there as possible, you know, to really display your goods. Now when you see a box that comes in that's not real full, it almost looks like there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's funny is I know when I'm building a box, like a brisket box, for example, you know, I feel like that thing has got to be flat full. Otherwise, they're going to think something is wrong. You know?
Yeah.
And there's part of me, you know, that thinks, you know, obviously don't put it in there unless it is the best thing that you can serve.
Right.
But then, and I know that I've pulled burnt ends out of a box before because of it. I thought, you know, I'm really, you know, 100% happy with how these are, and so I've not put them in. But then I feel like, gosh, I should put something in there, something else, you know, to because it's going to look empty, you know, especially like in a brisket box if you're not doing burnt ends. At least in my mind, I'm so used to putting them in the box that
Me too.
I think it looks naked without it, you know, so.
It does,
but yeah.
I have seen people put them in that it didn't help their box at all. And then, you know, it's like, oh, dang, why'd you do that? Because everything else was real good, and then you hate for it not to help. So, yeah.
Well, case in point, I know of a team who decided to pull their burn-ins out, and they got a 180 in a KCS comp. And I'm like, wow, there you go. There's a good reason. You know, he wasn't quite happy with his burn ends. They pulled him out of the box, and he got a 180.
Wow.
Born brisket. Yeah, so there you go.
There you go.
That's a good reason not to do it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you can overthink it. I know you can't really share, or you won't probably share, but it was interesting to hear Terry say that you made him look back at what he was doing, that he was actually doing too much.
Oh, on which thing?
On his chicken.
On his chicken? Oh, good. Well, you know, I think that, well, let me think. Brad's the chicken cook, so I can't divulge too much because I will get an earful for it. But, you know, it's pretty much, he's been sticking with his motto, Brad's been sticking with his motto this year, less is more. Cook it till it's done. Those are, you know, the two things to do when you're cooking barbecue for comps. Less is more. You know, try not to overcomplicate things, and then just make sure everything's done well. But yeah, I don't know exactly what Terry was doing with it. I know ours just seems like run of the mill, just regular chicken like everyone's cooking. I mean, I can't imagine people are doing anything really different than what we do. I don't know how much to say without having to sleep out in the truck tonight. So.
Oh. Well, no, you know what's kind of funny is I think the whole idea that people have a hard time coming around is that you are looking to do the best average barbecue without it being
exactly.
in one direction or the other for a judge's palate. I mean, because that's
exactly.
what you're really, really doing. It's one bite.
One bite. Yeah, it's got to be great barbecue with one bite, and it can't offend anyone. There can't be anything in that bite that'll be offensive to somebody. You know, not too spicy, not too sweet, not too whatever. You know, just like you said, great average barbecue that everyone would love.
And that is probably the hardest thing to actually conceptually get in your head.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I know that it took me a while to get that through my head. And, you know, I used to want to say, oh, I want them to taste this note or taste this. I'm like, forget it. You know what? Because that if I want them to taste some bit of earthiness or something, that might be something that somebody's like, well, shoot, that's not barbecue. Or
right.
you know, somebody might not enjoy that. And then that one score is going to get you knocked down. You know, from, you know, something that's going to give you a check to something that's not. So, yeah, just average barbecue. But cook it till it's done. And make sure you're turning in well-cooked meat.
I guess the biggest fear, and like I was saying to Terry, I think the reason that those zeros got missed was because we did have some DQs, and it was DQ and chicken. Fortunately, I guess all the DQs and chicken were timing related. It wasn't blood related.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. You never want to see that box coming back to somebody's table. I mean, let alone your table, but anyone else's table. That's like that feeling. When I see a box, I just
horrible.
Feel horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Because they've worked so hard, and it probably is something terrible. You know, the people that got DQ'd this weekend for timing, I kind of felt bad about too because, well, I did feel bad about because, you know, like we all, I think we pretty much all hate to see somebody get it. But the field was so big, and they were going, you know, that, I mean, you weren't in a bad spot, and I definitely wasn't in a bad spot.
Yeah.
I was super close, but, you know, I've been by myself running my hind end off to get to a far distance, and I know one of the people that got DQ'd, their distance was really far.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know, have I told you this story about my rib box I had to run in to flip box?
No,
I had to
what?
Run in. Oh, my gosh, we were cooking in Jessup, Georgia last October, I think, and I was running it down to the very last minute, and it was one of the few times that, well, it was the only time that Brad's ever told me to hustle when I went to turn in my ribs. And I thought, oh, crap, I need to run. I started jogging to the turn-in table, and I actually had judges yelling at me to run. And
I thought,
oh, crap. Oh, yeah, and I double-timed it. I set that box down on the table, and when I picked my head up, it turned to five after. I had a second left. And yeah, and I got first place ribs with that one. So there you go. And I also got a standing ovation from all the judges when I got that box in on time. So, yeah, it was fun. It was interesting, but, oh, my gosh. Aww. Running it down the wire, no fun.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
The I don't know if you remembered hearing this team this weekend, Smokey Dog.
No.
They actually walked a couple times, and they're a relatively new team. And I actually asked them to be on the show either tonight or next week, and I need to track them down because I thought I had their information. Anyway, they are the ones, and actually. He goes, oh, no, I don't really want to be on it. And his wife, like, nudged him. They're the ones that went up on the stage with the little baby wrapped up like a you know, because it was so cold.
Yeah.
They had their little baby with them. Anyway, they walked twice. They're a relatively new team. But they were at the Fun Cook, and he fell going in. I don't know if you saw that or anything. He fell going into the Fun Cook.
Yeah.
And then he placed.
Yes, I heard about, was that chicken
that
he had fallen?
I think it was, it doesn't matter what it was because,
so
he ended up placing in it. But, yeah, he went down for the count because it had been raining. That was a horrible, another one of those horrible weather things.
I honestly, being from Oregon, I've cooked in the rain a lot, but I think that was the worst rain I've ever cooked in was at the Basser. That was.
Really?
Incredibly. Oh, my gosh. Well, and it wasn't just the rain. It was that wind that was going. We had tents. I was holding down our tent while Brad was, I think he was boxing pork. So, and I was holding down the corners of the tent just getting poured on. And, of course, I wasn't ready for that rain. I had on, I think, 3 pants and a T-shirt and flip-flops, and I was just soaked from head to toe. But, oh, my gosh, I just wasn't expecting it. I was thinking, what was it, July in Florida?
Oh, that's always Labor Day weekend, and it was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
I had
rain.
Daryl was actually in my trailer filming me. He'd been there all day, and when it started to rain, you know, he was in there and kind of actually a little bit almost in the way because I had the two tables set up, but it started coming in, and we had the tent up because I had the assassin on the deck, and we had this tent up, and the floor was drenched. I'm like, I'm going to be on my hind end in no time at all. Yeah, that was just horrible, the wind and everything. Yeah, I guess
yeah,
I don't
it was
miss.
It was literally coming down sideways then, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a crazy amount of rain to come through there. Yeah.
Well, I have to say it's unusual to hear somebody from your neck of the woods, though, say a rain like that was the worst thing they ever cooked in.
Well, you know, I think I'm used to the constant rain, and, you know, just a constant amount, and you might get some wind and that sort of thing, and, yeah, you have tents of blow over and whatever, but that was like a storm. You know, that was literally a storm that came through, and I was expecting to see lightning any second then, and or, I don't know, a funnel cloud or something. It was horrible.
It was horrible. But it's always a good time, and that's kind of where you got to really meet everybody and
mm-hmm.
and hang out, because you guys had the magic margarita machine at that one.
Yes, that's right. That one, I believe, we pulled up to that comp. I hadn't even set up, or we hadn't even finished setting up our tents and that sort of thing, and I was already drinking peach moonshine. Over, I thought this is a great time. This is a great weekend. No meats prepped or anything yet, and I'm already a couple drinks into the day. All right, that's how it's gonna go.
You know, man, I need to come to Florida sooner.
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah, okay, you guys have fun at comps. I see. This is a good time.
Well, the one thing about that contest, you know, it is a little bit different. People do relax a little bit more. I mean, let's face it, there were after the festivities, there were even some judges that were partaking pretty well.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, they call the fun cooks for a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think this year will even be more fun. I'm always looking forward to the fun cook. But anyway, anything you want to leave us with tonight?
I'll see everyone out on the trail.
Wow.
I have no words of wisdom or anything to plug except for, you know, we'll see y'all next weekend.
Okay, and after Haines City, you're doing Fort, because I'm not going to be, I'm doing Sam's, and I won't be in Haines City. I'm trying to get my crap together to go over to help out at that Mac Daddy amateur challenge again this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it was a good time, and the people who participated, I think they were super happy with, you know, what they got out of it. So this is their second round. They're doing ribs, and, you know, we were talking. You want to go after the Smithfield challenge?
I do. I really do. I'm still waiting for them to post that schedule on the KCBS website. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I would love to go after that this year.
Are you guys going to do more of the KCBS contest
of
that?
We are. Yeah, we are. And I know during the summertime we're going to be hitting up quite a few KCBS contests when FDA slows down a little bit. But, we have a pretty full schedule this year, so I'm hoping to some team of the year, maybe even some team of the year calls in KCBS this year. But we shall see, we shall see how that goes.
Yeah, and last thing, do you guys do any GBA?
I don't know if we have anything on the schedule this year. I don't know. I know we've got some Southern Barbecue Network, and honestly, there are so many dang associations out here that I'm still getting used to, so you'll have to bear with me. But I think we're doing some Southern Barbecue Network and some SCBA, maybe, some of those comps. But that makes sense. It would be interesting to not have to travel so far away from home, you know.
Yeah, but you have family here, and
I know.
Let's face it, you love us.
I really, really do. The FDA is a great association, and everyone is so much fun, and it's like already feeling like a second family to me, you know, which I guess that's a good thing because, you know, I get to pick this family.
Well, I'm still thinking it was because as soon as you got settled in at the Fun Cook, you were welcomed in with moonshine and stuff. I'm thinking
yes.
that has a lot to do with it.
I think that does have a lot to do with it, Lori. Thank you very much for that. Yes.
Now,
very,
we were
very much the welcoming crowd.
Yeah, we were super glad to have you come down here. And, you know, I know you've done so many things on your own and, you know, with your Pitmaster stint with Lene. You guys did a great job. And, you know, you really, we talked about a little bit on BSPN the other day, but you guys were such a great fit together for that because, and she credits you with so much when you talk to her. Because you guys were bouncing stuff off each other, and when you've got two strong Pitmaster girls in there, that doesn't always happen. So it's a testament
yeah.
to both of you guys.
It was amazing that we worked that well together. I mean, I was amazed because I know that we're both type A's, and to be able to cook together and not butt heads and actually agree on everything and really, you know, value each other's feedback. It was
right.
an amazing experience to be able to cook with somebody of her caliber and for us both to agree as well as we did. It felt like it was written in the cards for
yeah.
us to do that together.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think you and Brad do an amazing job together, but I've seen you run him out of the camp. So it'll be like,
well,
oh, there goes.
Yeah. We are both type A's as well. We constantly have to remind each other that, you know, we're used to cooking by ourselves. And to cook week in, week out together, we do so much better now, I think, you know, just knowing when each other needs a little bit of space and, you know, with the communication that way. But yeah, we've run each other out. I think I've run him out more than he's run me out, for sure. Just because I am that bossy. But, yeah. Poor guy.
Well,
I feel so bad for him.
Well, don't be surprised if something comes up with this, this women's thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a hot, you know, a shining spot, because that could happen.
Yeah. I would like to hear more of that unfold and see how that turns out. I don't know. Do we even talk about that? I don't know if we talked about that. But yeah, I would love to see something come out of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, me too. I think it'd be a lot of fun and sure would like to be part of it. That's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
But,
definitely.
All right, well, tell Brad I said hey, and good luck to you guys this weekend. I sure wish I was going to be around, but if I end up over in Middleburg, that'll be a great time, too.
Well, thank you for the good luck wishes, and I will see you soon, and hopefully, yeah, real soon. Sounds like in 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah. All right, Corey, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so that's Corey Sherman, and she is part of the Lang Smokers, her and Brad Kay, out there on the trail, and they do a fine job. You know, always a solid cook. So let's go back here. We're basically opening up. I screwed up with a sponsor, actually, and at this time I want to go ahead and thank my sponsors. Because we didn't get into that, so I could get Terry taken care of. He was going to be on two other shows tonight. So when you win $10,000 at a regular contest, people want to talk to you, and Terry McKay surely deserves it. So going back to that, you know, I made mention about Bull Rush and Uncle Kenny's Barbecue getting a perfect score. It's very tough to get a perfect score, so, you know, big kudos out to both of them, and obviously they're sharing the high score in pork right now. Also, in Team of the Year, just a couple of comments about that. Bull Rush was bumped up a little bit, but B&T, we were talking about B&T Cook Team on the Barbecue Superstars BSPN this weekend, and if you want to take a look at that, it made its debut. It's on YouTube, it's on Barbecue Superstore, Superstars, and it's also, we put some links on the various if somebody was on, their name is mentioned in it, and you probably can pick up a link to see their interviews. There's hours of stuff to watch and listen to, and, you know, all the teams are very generous with their time. But one of the teams we were talking about who's placed high in their averages was B&T Cook Team. And I saw Bill this weekend. He and his wife cook together, real solid cook team. When they come out, they generally walk. And Bill's had shoulder surgery, so it looks like they'll be out for a while. He was there judging, and, you know, I didn't get a real long chance to chat with him because I was busy running back and forth with food, but they were on break one time when I got over and was able to slip in and talk to him. So well wishes to him for a speedy recovery because, you know, anytime you've had surgery, you want to make sure that mends well. So we thank our folks from last week. My sponsors, you know, I have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the workings of two of my sponsors' items. I used the Mac Daddy smoker, Pit Viper, this weekend. And if you haven't seen it on the Internet, go over to MacDaddySmokers.com or go onto their Facebook page. He called it a coffin at one time. It's like a vault-ish shaped reverse flow, which I love. That's what I'm familiar with using. And it actually opens in the front, more like a, I'm going to call it, a side-by-side refrigerator. It opens that way. And the recoup time on it from being open to closed and coming back, its recovery time is amazing. It's very quick. It's got a small wood-burning box, but it one of his claims is, you know, it nibbles at the wood. And having had stick burners out on the circuit before, I was prepared with a lot of wood, and I used a fraction of what I took, so it was very enjoyable to do that. I'm glad to be back in a stick burner. My brisket came out amazing. We had 82 teams this weekend in the pro division, and I did get a 12th in the brisket. It was beautiful. You know, my pork came out beautiful. Actually, pork came out amazing, and the box is beautiful, but, you know, they didn't like the flavor. It wasn't mushed out either. So, you know, this becomes what we all look at. But, you know, the performance of the Mac Daddy smoker for me, the Pit Viper, was amazing. And then I used and that was the first time I used it. Now, I do not recommend that you go to a contest and use cookers for the first time. So with the Rec-Tec pellet cooker, I at least cooked one thing on that at home, and I cooked a pork loin. But it did a really great job on the chicken, and super happy with that. Next week, and this is where I screwed up with a guest I was supposed to have on tonight, and we've rescheduled him for next week. I've got Chris from cookandpellets.com. I am using their pellets with that Rec-Tec. It's actually calibrated for a premium pellet such as, and I'm using the Perfect Blend, it's called, or the Perfect Mix, really gave out a nice smoke flavor. I finished some ribs in that cooker, and, you know, I've said it before, if you're there, and actually a lot of people took me up on it, if you're at a contest and I'm there and I'm cooking, don't hesitate to come by and take a look at the cookers. I have the Sweet Smoke Q Jim Elzer's juice can there, too. I cook ribs on it. If I don't have competition meat in there, you're welcome to open it and ask questions between meat turn-ins and stuff. If I can help you, I will. If I've got a pamphlet, I'll give it to you. But I actually had quite a few people stopping by. I think they were really, you know, intrigued with the Pit Viper, just because it was different, but everybody notices the Rec-Tec grill because it's the one that's got the stainless steel handles in the front that look like horns. So, and the other thing is, it was so cold and wet this weekend. You know, it's one thing to be by your stick burner, but my whole area was cold. I mean, and we were wet. So I cranked up the pellet cooker at 3 o'clock because I was just sick of shivering and, you know, was sitting kind of between them. I had them all underneath the tent, again, because it was cold and wet. So cranked up that pit cooker or the pellet cooker at about 3 o'clock. And, you know, I got so busy and my timing was a little off because, again, not having cooked on that pit viper, but everything was pretty darn close. So my timing was off a little bit. Never thought to check the hopper on the pellet cooker. And right, I forget what time it was because my chicken turn in, you know, it was 11, and then I finished ribs on it. So I'm going to say 12 o'clock, some guys stopped by to really talk about that pellet cooker, and I went, you know, and it's got this huge hopper in the back, and I opened it up, and it was getting low, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't even thought about it. But it had only used, I'm going to say it maybe used, I'm going to say 15 pounds. It's like a 40-pound hopper, so it's really big, and it maybe used 15 pounds, but it had gone down substantially. So that's a real advantage to a bigger hopper at a contest. But like I said, if you are at a contest and you want to take a look at either one of those, feel free to come by. Super happy with them. I use pecan and cherry. Have to thank Damon Woolley from Woolley Bully Barbecue Mafia. He gave me a few sticks of pecan to put some extra good mojo in the cooker, and I think it actually did. Like I said, recovery time was great. I actually opened it up because I knew that the recovery time was real good. Some guys were wanting to look inside, and I opened it up while I still had meat cooking for the contest and not concerned about it going down. So anyway, come check it out or go onto their website and take a look at what they've got. Both of those products are super high quality. And, again, that's Rec Tech Pellet Cookers and Mac Daddy Smokers. Also, you know, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elzer, he's got his sauces, his injection. I used his brisket injection again this weekend. He said like 6 or 7 teams were actually using the injection this week. We're ready for that to come on the market. He's definitely tweaked that in. I thought the flavor of it was right on target to what you want in a, you know, to add to your brisket, to enhance it. No streaking. You know, I think some of the injections do have some issues with that. Really, the flavor was great. And, again, he does offer the juice can as well as an injector. He's got a bigger injector that works out real well. Royal Oak Charcoal, they have lump charcoal as well as regular charcoal. I think their claim to fame is that they quickly get you to temperature. And so it uses, for me, in the drum, I use lump charcoal in the drum. For me, it burns less. It seems to burn a little bit less. So you might want to check out Royal Oak. Also, Pit Barrel Cooker Company, the baby pit barrel that I call it. It's wonderful at the house, but let me tell you, I know a guy using it now I know a couple guys using it on the circuit, and the one guy is doing just a couple of meats. And when he's ready to do more meats, he's going to have a couple of them because he's super happy with it. I love to use it at the house to carry it with me anymore for a contest. Doesn't always work out, but I will probably have it with me at the Fun Cook again because that's what that's about. It's a fun cook. People can go around and see what you got going on, and we'll throw something on there so people can look at that. And Pirate 50. They've been with me since the beginning. They do a great job on trophies and custom artwork, so check them out. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for supporting me and what I'm doing here. The cookandpellets.com, again, they are in conjunction with Rec Tech in my world, but they have 100% hickory and they've got this perfect blend, plus they have some other things, but that's their real mainstay. And we'll have Chris on next week to talk about the difference in pellet construction and what it does mean to a cooker. I wanted to also thank Clifford Burke. Cliff is from the Miami area, if I'm thinking right. Anyway, one time along the way, I made mention about having my hands smell like onions because of, you know, cutting 10 pounds of them or whatever for a job. And Cliff brought me a stainless steel soap. Now, I've heard of those before, but I hadn't seen one. I kind of forgot about it. And so, you know, he comes to my booth, and I hadn't met him, just on Facebook. Comes to my booth, and he goes, "You got a knife?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, cut this in half." And he hands me an onion. He's like, "Rub it all over your hands." So, I'm playing. I rub it all over my hands. And then he pulls out that little stainless steel soap. And it looks like the size of what you would get in a motel, you know, the little soaplets in a motel. Anyway, he says, take it and run it under water and use it like it's soap. But everywhere the stainless steel touches, it neutralizes the smell. So this was a pretty juicy onion, and the middle of my fingers, between my fingers, were still smelling. He goes, "No, you got to touch everything." So I went back in, and I just kind of took the little soap and went between my fingers, and by gosh, it took the smell out 100%, and it works on things like garlic. It works on things like fish guts. If you're filleting a bunch of fish and you smell, this would take it out. So the onion is always a big issue for me, and I could see having a couple of these little guys around. I know that Cliff sells them. You could contact him on Facebook. He also put on there that Bass Pro Shop. I'm sure some of these other places have them. But I'm probably going to have to get another one, because I can see putting one in my barbecue trailer, you know, and one probably in my purse to carry around, because there's nothing worse than me going to work a catering job when I've been cutting onions and garlic all day, and it's coming out of my hands, and it smells like it's coming off of me, but you can get rid of it that easily. So check that out. You know, you never know what you're going to learn when you're listening to a barbecue show. So I actually had one other person that was supposed to call in, and I'm hoping to give him a few seconds to do that. I think we got Jeff here on the line, so I know you're not wanting to talk to me, but I'm going to come over and say, hey. Jeff, is that you or is it Rick?
No, that's me, Lori.
Who's me, Lori?
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Jeff.
Okay. Well, you know, you got that 518 number, so I never know if it's you or Rich, but I'm kind of holding out. I lost a guest tonight, and I've got somebody calling in at hopefully in 2 minutes, and so I thought I'd say hi to you. You're just living vicariously through all the other barbecue people, aren't you?
I am doing my best, yes. Trying to.
Well, hopefully you guys will be back in good weather real soon, and it won't make a difference.
Yeah, we got a couple things going on March 8th and March 22nd, so regardless of the weather, we'll be outside.
Oh, cooking?
Yeah, we, actually at a ski lodge, they asked us to come up Willard Mountain, a local mountain up here, on March 8th, and then me and two other buddies who have cook teams, we decided just to get together and do one last practice before we do any of our competitions. And then my buddy, one of his sponsors is Meat House. That's a local butcher up here. I don't know if they have them down there. And he got it so we could do it in their parking lot one Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, just three guys with smokers and pop-up canopies out in the parking lot. Making
like,
a spectacle.
Yeah, tailgating with a freezer out there. No, that'll be good. Now, you guys will start warming up in the middle of April, won't you?
Yeah, like, I don't know if they say it down south, but up here they for March, and like a lion, out like a lamb.
Right.
So they fought up. So, no, and then April will be pretty good. I think it's the first or second week in April will be our first official one that's down in Staten Island.
Okay. Okay, I didn't remember what it was. I knew you were going to cook those. Now, do you know Doug, Doug Hiles up there?
That name doesn't sound familiar, no.
The Rib Within?
No, I will look him up, though, once I get off the phone with you.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy. He cooks barbecue, but he also, he's a bacon competitor, so I didn't know if maybe you knew him.
No, I do know sometimes when I do KCBS, they have some bacon events that I'll have to start looking into.
Yeah.
No,
actually,
so I will definitely look him up.
Yeah, we're hoping to, Angela Iverson, who is the coordinator, and you know Angela. Angela, who's the coordinator for the Oviedo show, she's trying to become a world, well, she's already designated as a world food qualifier, but looking to have a couple of the other contests there so that if we compete, we can actually go to Vegas.
Awesome.
Yeah, because if I'm there, I want to compete, so I'd love it if they could pull that together.
Yep. And good job on your show there Friday afternoon. I was watching it while I was supposed to be working.
Well, I don't know that that's good you were doing that, but thank you very much. I appreciate that. And listen, Jeff, my other caller's here, so I'm just going to put you on hold here, and I'll go over to him.
Okay, bye, Lori.
Okay. All right, so we have a special guest here with us tonight. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so we have with us in the house Gavin Harden, and I was hoping to get Garrett on, but I just couldn't swing the timing. So as reserve grand champion for the backyard in Apopka, congratulations, Gavin.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about your cook, because first I want to qualify by saying are you 13 or 14?
14.
14, and Garrett just turned 17. So you guys were defending your grand championship from last year in the backyard division, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so why don't you tell me a little bit about how your cook went and where you placed and everything, because you guys, there were 33 teams in backyard this year?
I don't know the exact number. I think it was a little more than 33, but around 40.
Okay. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your cook. How'd your chicken and stuff go?
Well, the chicken, we liked it, and we got 6, which I didn't think was too bad, out of 40. And then our ribs, I honestly didn't like our ribs, and we got first place in ribs.
Yeah, I know.
Which was a big surprise to me.
Now, you cook ribs, right?
I cook the ribs and the chicken.
Okay. So, and let's just go ahead and say you cook chicken and you cook ribs. Garrett cooks the pork and the brisket, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So how do you do in pork?
Well, I guess the pork wasn't that strong this year. I don't know the exact reason why. He said that he didn't like the presentation on it at all.
Really?
He thinks what killed us.
Well, what'd your points look like?
I didn't actually look at the score sheet yet, honestly. Because He has it.
Okay. We need to make sure we get you a copy so you can kind of analyze it. I know you'd like to know probably what you did. Okay, so and what happened in brisket?
Oh, we got third in brisket, and we both thought the brisket was very good this weekend.
Really? So
we tried a new presentation because our brisket broke in the middle, so we had to cut about an inch out of the middle of the brisket and put slices on each side with burners through the middle, which we thought was pretty cool looking, and I guess the judges liked it too.
Yeah. You know what? That's what makes it a sport, isn't it? Because you never know what's going to happen.
That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah, did you have anything else that you had to kind of adapt and overcome with other than weather?
Well, the weather was a very big curveball.
Yep.
Trying to keep the cookers, his drum, and the baby at the correct temperature. But we, during the rain, our power cord on the guru for the stump, it kind of got wet, so the guru wasn't functioning properly, so we had to have LJ come over and let us borrow a power cord.
Okay.
And then we had the fire going out on both cookers constantly. And the, I guess it's the heat shield for the drum disintegrated, so we had to get a new heat shield in there.
Yes, mine disintegrated too.
The water pan put the fire out, so we were rushed to get the heat back up for the butts and the brisket.
What did you guys do to it? Oh, when it broke, did it
broke
puncture your water pan?
When it broke, the water pan was sitting on top of it, and whenever it fell down, it just flipped over on top of the fire.
Oh, so yours broke while yours broke while you were cooking.
While we were cooking, and we had to put everything on the baby while the other one got the temperature.
Okay. Now, can't you run, Garrett, I didn't mean to call you Garrett. Gavin, can't you run that baby without a guru?
You can, but it's harder to do because you have to have the air flow and all that to it, and it's just a lot easier with the guru and a fan.
Well, of course it's a lot easier. My baby stump, I don't have a guru for. I just turn it in a different direction, and it stays at 250 all the time. That little stump is a working machine, I'll say that.
That's
so
a workhorse.
Yeah, they are a workhorse. So you borrowed the stump to do your chicken and the ribs on?
Yes.
And when are you guys going to cook together again?
We don't exactly know because Garrett has to get off work and just plan it out before we jump on an event. Like, I think next year we're talking about doing pro and popping next year, but we're still talking between us.
Yeah, and you had something real cool happen. Actually, Chris Sebring from Everglades sponsored you, didn't they?
Yes, that was a big thank you because
go ahead.
If we didn't have them, I think it kind of gave us a confidence boost because we had somebody who actually thought that we were good enough to cook under there as a part of their team,
which
we thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. But, you know, I didn't get you. Well, you guys had your little Everglades shirts on, but I thought maybe they just gave you shirts. And then every time you'd leave, you were pointing to the back and saying Everglades, which I thought was really good once I realized that they had actually sponsored you. So that was real cool. Do you have any other sponsors that's helped you out?
Not yet. We're open to any sponsor, whether it's Band-Aids, you name it, we'll sport it.
Well, then I guess I was your sponsor this weekend because I gave you a Band-Aid.
Yeah, you did.
It helped me a lot. How did you cut yourself?
Again, it kind of broke up.
Oh, how did you cut yourself?
Well, I was walking back with the trophy back to the trailer, and I guess I was talking to Garrett walking, and somebody in front of me stopped and kind of turned around, and they did their elbow hit the trophy, and it topped the trophy, topped the bridge of my nose and cut it open a little bit.
Oh, now, we were talking to Terry earlier. You guys got an amazing trophy for that, didn't you?
Yes, they're very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Now, was the one last year the same size and everything?
Last year it was
a real trophy.
It was a real trophy. It was probably about five foot six, like between 5 and 6 foot tall. And it was a big, heavy trophy.
It was a cute column.
Yeah, it was a column, pretty much.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I will say one thing. You guys cooked the cocoa contest last year, right?
Yes.
Are you looking at doing
that? Cooked that on the pretty much the same things, and I think last year we got third and fourth.
Okay.
Beating Jim and my dad, which we thought was a really big accomplishment.
Yeah. they weren't real happy about that. And what people should know is you're a real big part of your other team, Blitzkrieg, and Garrett is a big part of Sweet Smoke Q. So you're not just little kids running around. You guys are men working this thing, and you do a great job, and you've helped out with Battle at Barbecue Junction. Anytime you get bored, I'd love to have you come cook with me, but your dad, I know, depends on you, and you've turned into quite fine cook. I'm happy
Thank
for you guys. You did very well this weekend, and I always enjoy having you around, and, you know, of course, I have to bust your chops a little bit when I see you, so you do a great job, and it's been fun having you around.
Yeah, once again, we couldn't have done it this weekend without Chris and Jimmy from Everglades.
Yep. Well, I'm glad they gave you guys some inspiration, and I'm glad you did as well as you did. Anything you want to tell somebody that is in high school that might be interested in potentially competing, that, you know, what, you got any words of wisdom for them?
Well, you need to find a pro team to cook with, somebody who will kind of guide you in the right direction, give you some flavors and stuff, some, not really a cooking class, but maybe just get somebody to guide you a little bit. And once you get something, it might not work the first time, but if you find something that might work, tweak it a little bit, and you'll probably get really good results.
Well, there you go. And those are great words of wisdom. Gavin, thanks for coming on tonight. Hopefully you're probably finishing up with your homework and getting ready for another day at school tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Are you guys going to be in Haines City?
Yes, ma'am, we will.
Okay. And
we'll
then
be vending there, too.
Okay. So if they want to come get some good competition barbecue, they can come see Blitzkrieg in Haines City. And then are you guys doing Fort Pierce, or are you doing Sam's Club?
Fort Pierce.
Okay. So I won't see you for a couple of weeks, but I wish you guys all the best out there, and thanks for coming on my show tonight, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so that's Gavin Harden, and one of the Blitzkrieg guy. But, you know, let's face it, he's cooking with his dad, and Garrett's cooking with his dad, and as I joke with both the dads, if they go pro and beat me or kick my ass, I'm not going to be real happy about it. They're both fine cooks, and it's really great to see them out there doing that. Last couple of things before we go tonight is, you know, congratulations to Chuck Carnesali and his crew in Apopka. They really did an amazing job on this event. You know, I had written down here, and my numbers might be off, I had 82 pro teams, 33 backyard teams, and they had 38 chili cooks, cook teams for the second day. So it's a lot of undertaking. Plus they had the dog jumping contest, they had shooting contests, they had cannons going off, they had helicopter rides, they had, I don't know what else, they had all other kinds of things going on. They had concerts. They raised money for two different foundations that basically help scholarship and charitable to help people in need, which right now we know there's a lot of that. So congratulations to them. They did an amazing job. The chili cook-off I participated in on Sunday, ended up being lucky enough to get second, but more importantly, all of the winners, with the exception of, well, nope, I think all of the winners for decorations, People's Choice, and the top three places were all barbecue teams. So that was pretty cool. Actually, M&E won the chili cook-off, and we were over getting our checks cut because they held out to make sure that they put the checks in the right name, so we had to go to a little place, and they're there waiting for theirs, and he turns to me and says, this is the first time we've ever cooked chili. My wife sent us a sent us a recipe, and we just added some extra stuff. So obviously it was good because they won, and they took home $1,200 and a huge trophy and a cookbook. So congratulations to those boys. And like I said, the other people that won, and I don't have the names in front of me, so forgive me for that, but they were all barbecue teams. And I know that staying there an extra day, let me tell you, we were all dragging by the end of the day. But it was a lot of fun. They did a great job. I also announced that BSPN made its debut this weekend. And again, thank you to everybody that came on. If you want to check those out, you can check my personal Facebook page, Lori Frazee, or Barbecue Superstars has all kinds of links to the different interviews. And we have a pregame or pre-cook show, and then we actually do a wrap-up where we speculate at what might happen with the confusion of the score problems. And again, the FBA did the best thing they could do. They did an amazing job, and the team of Bull Rush, you guys are class acts, and you deserve all the best to you because you did the right thing, and you didn't have to. So, again, I can't gush over them enough for that. The other thing I wanted to make a note of, the Edgewater contest is put on by the city of Edgewater, and it kind of became a thing about them either having a late fee or whatever. It was put on the 2nd and 3rd of January. Couldn't have been a worse weekend because it was right after the holiday and their numbers were down. And, you know, I had kind of gotten on Facebook with her, and she put it out there and said, if you guys get me this many teams, I'll rebate everybody $50, you know, because they needed to build the numbers at the team. And the teams showed up, and today I got my $50 check. So, you know, good for them for doing that. It was a way to get extra teams there. Plus, it showed so much good faith to the teams. So I applaud them. It was a great little contest anyway. I see them growing every year. So, you know, thank you so much for them. And you never know what kind of thing it takes to get your teams there. But obviously this last weekend, $10,000 for first place and $5,000 for second place was a real big draw. They want to make it bigger. The FBA is looking to expand. Had an interesting conversation about that, and there'll be more conversation in the future about that. You can listen to a Barbecue Superstar show every night of the week, except Saturday, and 5 days a week. You've got 6 nights and 5 days, Monday through Friday. You can catch the morning show on Barbecue Superstars. That's a live stream where you actually watch it, or you can listen to it as you do something else. But there's 6 radio shows on a week, and we're here for the teams. And if you have something you would like to get out there or something that you would like to present or have an interview based on, let us know. Somebody probably knows somebody who knows somebody, and we'd be happy to get that out there for you guys. We're going to wrap it up for the evening. Good luck to the folks in Haines City this weekend. I'll be hopefully at the Mac Daddy Challenge over in Middleburg and visiting with 20 to 30 new teams as they work on ribs. So that's going to be a great time because they all know how to have a good time. Plus, it's great to help teach people some new things. So with that, safe travels. Have a great Valentine's Day to all you out there. And we will be back here on Tuesday next week. Keep on smoking and safe travels.